Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me in the studio today is our long-term friend, Marie Good. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Well, I'm excited about this podcast because you have helped so many people through your own life story in areas of experiencing grief and loss and disappointment. So let's just get right into it. Talk about how you grew up, some things that happened in your life, wherever you want to go with this, and then we'll get into the things you've learned and the things that have helped lots of other people in this whole area. So tell us some stories.
Okay. I grew up here in Lititz, Pennsylvania, and I was thinking back through some of my stories as a child, and I was thinking, man, I don't have a whole lot of stories, but there's one that does stick out. I remember one night, it was the night before Christmas, my sister said to me, hey, Marie, let's get up and open up all of our Christmas gifts in case we get something we don't like.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then we can pretend we like it. So I was like the good little sister. I was like, sure, let's do that. So we go down and we carefully unwrap all of our Christmas gifts.
That's crazy.
And my sister was like, oh, I don't like that. Do I look surprised and happy if I make this face or that face? And then we wrapped them all back up, went to bed, and got up and opened them the next morning in front of our parents.
And when did your parents find out that happened, or have you never told them to this day?
We have told them, and I'm trying to remember when we actually told them. Knowing me, I probably told them right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And got my sister in trouble.
That is too funny. Well, let's talk about just a couple of leadership things, and just to kind of get started, because experiencing grief, loss, disappointment is something that not only leaders deal with, but they help lots of other people walk through those kinds of things. So you've been involved in many areas of leadership over the years. What are some areas of leadership that you've experienced?
Yes. Well, I've done small group leaders. Mm-hmm. I was also a cluster leader, which oversees some of the small group leaders. And the position that I have right now at my work, I oversee different volunteer teams as leaders, but I've also led support groups with women who have walked through betrayal.
Wow, amazing. Marie, you've helped many who've experienced grief, loss, disappointment already. I know you and I've watched your journey. And it's become a life message to you. Tell us how you learned this.
Well, it became a life message because it's been part of my life.
Right.
Back in 2012, we were given some really horrible news about our son who had had cancer four years before that. Mm-hmm. He was re-diagnosed with cancer, and this time we were told that he only had about a 1% chance to survive cancer. So, unfortunately, he passed away that year of cancer, and so grief hit our home really, really hard.
Yeah.
So walking through that journey, I realized how important grief is, what it is, and how to recognize it, and how important it is to sit in the messy emotions of grief to get to the place of healing and walking through it and living again.
Yeah. I know when you share your story with people in a lot of different settings, you often talk about CPR, you know, choice, process, release. Talk about that. Explain that to us.
When I think of CPR, I think of it through the eyes of forgiveness. I sat in a counseling room with my husband, and I heard some really, really hurtful things. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at my counselor, and I said, how am I supposed to forgive? I've always been taught you forgive and forget, and you move on. But as I walk through life and through my counselor's help, we realize that forgiveness is more of a process than it is a quick one-time event. And before I enter that process, I need to have a choice. So I choose to start the forgiveness process. And my choice is empowering me to say that I am going to choose to walk in healing. And so I first start with choice. We choose to enter the process. And then the process actually can go hand in hand with grieving, depending mm-hmm. how hurtful or how deep that pain was. You also need to walk through the process of releasing and grieving the losses that you had through what the incident brought on. And then releasing the person from the debt that they owe you.
Okay.
The one thing that I have done with this releasing part is I have to put something tangible in my head. And so I created this idea in my head. It's called my stupid tree idea.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. And this is a Marie idea created in her head. And so when someone would say something that would be hurtful to us, like after we lost our son, they try to help so much. Right. And people say stuff and they don't know what they're saying. Right. And sometimes it can be hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I would hear these things and right away I'd be like, you know what? I forgive them mm-hmm. because they don't know. And I would take their little name and I would write it on a little star in my head and I would pin it on my stupid tree. And I'd just say, that's a stupid comment for a stupid tree. And I would leave it there. So it was my tangible way of releasing them. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you to this day who was on that tree because right. I didn't think about it again.
Right.
So we do need to come up with a way to release someone from mm-hmm. the hurt that they have mm-hmm. put on us.
Well, talk about how you needed to release God from the debt that you felt he owed you. That's big.
That's big.
Yeah.
That was a pivotal moment in mm-hmm. my spiritual walk. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I realized that a number of years after my son died, mm-hmm. I started getting very, very angry with God. And there were different things that were happening in my world, different healings I was believing for my children, mm-hmm. different things I was believing for myself. And I just felt like God had just been silent and he didn't seem like he really cared anymore. Mm. And so I got very angry at God. And I actually told him, I said, if this is what it's like to follow you, God, I don't think it's worth following you. And I have some choice words I want to share with you, but I'm not going to say them in my kitchen. We'll say them in my prayer room, you know, because that's a more holy place.
Right.
So I said, meet me there in 5 minutes. So I went up to my prayer room, and of course, God was there because he's always with us. And I just sat on the floor and all my anger just came out at God. And mm-hmm. I was just so angry at him for all the disappointments that have happened in my life. And instead of walking away from him and instead of him turning mm-hmm. away from me, he met me in that moment.
Beautiful.
And he engaged in my life. And when I got up from just wailing and crying and yelling and screaming and asking God, why? Nothing had changed. The circumstances haven't changed in anything in my life, but my perspective on who he was
right.
changed. And I realized that in that moment, I forgave him. I released him from the debt that I thought he owed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like saying that I no longer blamed him for my pain.
It's so good. It's so good. You know, the book of Psalms, David just shared his heart with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good, bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
And I think that's what was happening with you. And,
yeah.
And that's a very healthy thing.
Yeah, it was like a lament.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Share with us about the note you found written by your daughter after your son mm-hmm. Seth died and what you learned from this.
Yeah. After Seth died, I was in my daughter's room, and I saw in her trash can there was a note that was written. And, of course, you do what every good mom does. You pull it out and you read it.
Right.
And she was only 11, so it wasn't like she was 18. But I pulled it out and I read it, and it said, "Dear God, I forgive you for taking my brother away from me."
Mm.
And I just saw in that moment that my 11-year-old daughter knew as a child how to release God from that debt that she felt mm-hmm. like he owed her.
Very good. Talk to us about the statement, powerful statement. Getting hurt by people is hard, but getting hurt by what God allows can feel unbearable.
Right. Yes.
Talk about that.
I read that in the book Forgiving What You Can't Forget from Lisa Turkhurst.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, that just really hit home to me because I was like, that is so true. you understand that people who are broken, who are humans, mm-hmm. are going to let you down. But then here you have God, who's supposed to be your biggest cheerleader, your supporter, right. your protector, and you're going through things in your life, and yet he's supposed to be mm-hmm. the one protecting you from all the pain. Mm-hmm. And so that was a moment, and it kind of goes hand in hand with that anger that I had mm-hmm. felt with him. So I thought, if he loved me, why would he allow this pain to happen to mm-hmm. me? If he truly loved me, why doesn't he hear me? If he truly loved me, why doesn't he answer my mm-hmm. prayers? Because my prayers were good. Mm-hmm. They weren't selfish. They were these good prayers. So I felt like unseen, and I felt uncared about to mm-hmm. God.
I appreciate your vulnerability, because so many people get it totally. They've been through the same thing, mm-hmm. same situations, and just your realness about this is so important. Tell us how we can learn to be honest with God and allow him into our messy emotions.
Yeah, learn to be honest with God. You know, God already knows what we're going through. Learning to sit with him mm-hmm. and to be upset with him and mm-hmm. to share that he disappointed me, I feel like that's not an unholy place. I feel right. like it's a real place.
Correct.
If I had a friend that did that to me and said things to me that you disappointed me, you let me down, there would be this place of intimacy that mm-hmm. would happen, because mm-hmm. that friend would have finally let me into her world. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like when we are honest with God and we just come to him in our messy emotions, he's saying, finally, I get to see my child's heart.
Right.
Finally,
right.
they're trusting me with the pain.
Yeah, I love the way you're sharing about being real with your emotions and sharing with God honestly and intimately about, you know, how you're feeling. Is there anything more you want to say about that?
Well, the one thing that I can share about disappointments with God and being real with him is I realized from my garden. So a number of years ago, I started a garden, and it really wasn't to produce food. My garden was to take a concept and make it tangible
sure,
to me.
Sure.
And to tell myself that through dirt, I can grow something. Something can grow from dirt. Mm-hmm. And not just grow, but can grow and nourish other
Very
people.
Very good. Very good.
And so I started this garden. And I had this garden, and the one year I had this cute little plant growing that I never planted, and I was like, oh, this is such a cute little plant. It's harmless. I'm just going to keep it going and see what it is, because I was novice, so I did not know what this plant yeah. was. Now I know what this plant is. And the plant grew, and the plant grew, and the plant grew, and it covered my garden, and I called it the boss of my garden because it was a pumpkin plant. And it took over the green beans, and it started taking over other healthy plants. And I would keep cutting it back. And I realized that every time I cut it back, it kept growing and kept growing.
Sure.
And I realized, like an expert gardener would know, is that you need to pull it out by the root. And so I finally just pulled it out by the root. And when I did that, God took a concept, made it tangible
sure,
again
sure.
to me, and just said, these are the disappointments
sure.
that I would have had with God. And I thought they were harmless. I mm-hmm. thought they were fine. I can carry them. But eventually, those disappointments will take over, like the pumpkin plant did, and
sure.
will take over all my healthy
sure.
parts. And I have to pull it out and share with God real about yep. how I feel.
Very good. I think a question that we often ask ourselves or ask others when we go through really difficult times and grief and disappointment is, how can sorrow and joy coexist?
Yeah, because they don't go hand in hand.
Right, right.
Because how can you be sad and happy at the same time?
Right. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. So joy and sorrow can coexist, because we can have so much pain, and yet we can also come to Jesus with our pain. Mm-hmm. And when we come to Jesus with our pain and we sit in that place with him, there's a joy that comes with his presence and a peace that comes with his presence. So it doesn't take our pain away, and it might not change the circumstance, but his presence can fill us with a joy
so good.
That continues to let us keep going.
That's so good. Let's talk about forgiveness. Talk about where forgiveness is not.
So forgiveness is not. Forgiveness yeah. is not forgetting.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Because we can forgive, but we might also still remember the situation. And forgiveness is not refusing to acknowledge the pain that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is not trusting. Mm. Doesn't mean when you forgive someone that you need to trust them because they might not be a healthy person yet.
So true.
Forgiveness is not reconciliation. It takes one person to forgive, one person to repent, but two people to reconcile. And forgiveness is not a feeling that we have.
Good. You've learned how to grieve well and give grief a seat at the table, right? So talk about this. What does that mean?
So when I see grief and having it have a seat at my table, I see it like a dinner guest. And when I have a dinner guest, I'm engaging in that dinner guest. I'm talking to that dinner guest. I'm allowing that dinner guest to talk to me. And so I see that with grief, that we need to allow ourselves to engage with those emotions and those feelings and allow ourselves to hear also what's going on within us as we have those emotions.
Very, very, very good. You have said there's joy that comes when grief can speak and a peace that fills missing pieces of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so when I allow grief to speak, that would be, now when I allow grief to speak, I'm crying.
Yeah.
Because that's how I deal with my emotions. But when we allow grief to have a voice within us, or we allow ourselves to express grief, then we can heal from what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we can also allow ourselves to experience the joy of life again.
So good. Thanks again for being vulnerable. Thanks again for being open, you know, with because what happens is when you're open and you're sharing your story, there's other people think no one, they're going through the same thing, but they think nobody else is.
Right.
They think it's just their thing. And you have so many people ready, and I appreciate you being on the podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today as we think about this whole subject of experiencing grief, loss, disappointment, healing, wholeness, whatever, all of it together? Anything else you'd like to share with us today?
There is one more thing that I would love to share, and this was so encouraging to me. Is the way that a pearl is formed.
Okay, please go for it.
So a pearl is formed in an oyster because an irritant enters the oyster.
Right.
And when the irritant enters, it tries to figure out what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to create this thing called nacre. And it starts to coat this irritant. And it coats it, and it coats it, and it coats it, and it coats it. And eventually that irritant is coated so much that it becomes this priceless pearl.
Wow.
And I think about that in my life, and it's so encouraging to me that, you know, I have irritants that come into my life. And taking them to Jesus and sitting with Jesus, he has taken his spirit, and he has coated, and he has coated it, and he has coated that irritant. And the irritant or the distraction or the disappointment in life might have not gone away, but it has been so coated with Christ that it actually becomes like a priceless piece of my life.
Beautiful. Yeah. That is beautiful. Wow. Marie, I would like to have you give my daughter Katrina, who's a producer and your good friend, any books or any articles, anything that you've read to put on the show notes.
Okay.
Okay. And, and for all of you listening, check out the show notes and learn a lot more about how we can deal in a godly way with experiencing grief, loss, and disappointment.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Thank you for joining me today for this leadership podcast. And this is going to help a lot of people. Again, thank you for being real, open, vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless you as you minister to many others in many ways now and in the future, because these life messages not only change our lives, but they change the lives of those around us. Again, God bless you all for joining us today. And Marie, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Forward to seeing many of you in the near future as we have our next podcast. God bless you. And again, check out the show notes. We'll be back real soon. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.